It was a blessing the other evening to watch our Randy Stang coaching these guys. And that's a ministry. Praise God, he's in a place where he can pass on his faith and pray for him. I say that he's got a bunch of guys that he is watching over and guiding and directing. And I'm just going to ask Randy if he would ask for the Lord's blessing as we look at God's word, please.
Father, it's such a privilege to be in your house today and to learn of you. And thank you for this great privilege. And I ask that you just be worship today and lift it up. And we thank you and pray for Pastor as he brings forth your word today. And our hearts to be prepared for what you have to say. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Title today, The Way Up is Down, certainly is not the world's way of looking at things, but I want to share some thoughts that spiritually it's a reality. And it's very interesting. The message came to me in a counseling session when talking about the importance of going down so you can be up where God wants you to be. And so I just want to share some of those kind of thoughts with you to remind us what Jesus did. And what came to me in that counseling situation, Lord spoke into my spirit, just tell my story. What a story our Lord Jesus Christ has in the matter of his condescension. There's a song that I wished was in our hymnal, it isn't, Down From His Glory. We sang Ivory Palaces, and we'll look at that a little bit more, but I think there's no way that we on this side of glory can comprehend that step of the Father's plan and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and be and do what the Father had in mind for us. There are also, in the scriptures, there's plenty of examples of the way down is up. And I want to just share a couple of those with you. One of them was the king of Judah, Uzziah, that things were going pretty well for him. In fact, I'll just give you a couple, a little bit of 2 Chronicles 26. At the end of verse 15, it says, and his name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. That's King Uzziah. Verse 16 says this, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And what happened? He took things upon himself, and something that the king was not allowed to do is go into the house of God and burn incense. And there were set like 80 priests withstanding him and saying, that's wrong, you can't do that, and made him very angry. And leprosy came upon him, and he was a leper till the day of his birth. But that's what the word says. When he was marvelously helped and when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And of course, the greatest example of that, and it's spelled out to us in Isaiah 14. In fact, I'd just again like to read those few verses concerning Lucifer. I think we have no idea of how beautiful he was created, his talents as an angel of God to bring glory and honor to God in the presence of God. But Isaiah writes here in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and the clouds. I will be like the Most High. yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He's really the in the days when angels were given free will to rebel against God and to lift himself up and say, I'm going to be like God. And it brought him down. In Luke chapter 10, when the 70 came back, Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. He often will still try to promote himself as a bright star and morning star, but he's not. And he gave up his glory in his fall, and he continues to be contrary and against our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a rebeller. He's the inspirer of rebellion. He wants, and that's what he was doing with Eve. You don't have to listen to God. In fact, if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like him. And watch out, he continues to try to inspire rebellion in the lives of people. So the way we're going to consider the way up is down, but the way down is for those that lift themselves up in pride and rebellion and come to destruction. I'd like us to, for a moment, consider the Lord Jesus coming and teaching and displaying, modeling, while he is here to his disciples. There's a couple of passages I would just indicate. Mark chapter 9, the disciples, again, this happened with them several times, were having a discussion among themselves, which of them should be the greatest? Who's going to be in charge? And Jesus was not in on that conversation, but of course he knows everything that's going on. And so he came and asked the boys, what were you debating about along the way? And it says that none of them dared say anything about it. But he knew. He took a little child at that point in the passage there in Mark 9, 33 through 37, as these boys or these men were debating about who's going to be in charge, who's going to be the greatest of his disciples. And he said, a little child, and he says, I want you to know that people have to become like this child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's this childlikeness that causes us to be the greatest. And so he gave them that lesson, and that wasn't the last time they needed it. And of course, we have John 13, where Jesus, the Lord of glory, coming down, and he took a cow, a basin, and a towel, and he washed their feet. And even Peter knew this just doesn't seem right, but he said, you need me to do that. You need me to be a cleansing of you and to be able to serve you. The other passage is in Luke 22 and the last Passover. And Jesus, in that Passover, he said that the one that's going to betray me is here eating with us. And it's interesting, they all did not look at the one that was going to betray him. But rather, they began to ask him, who is it? Who's going to do that? The passage goes on to say then that they had a discussion that there was a strife among them who would be counted the greatest. Think about that. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are striving over who's going to be in charge. After all these things come to pass. And so Jesus gave them this word. He said, in the world system, men rule over others, and those that are ruled or those that rule are the benefactors. But he said, that's not the way with you boys. That's not the way. Whoever will be the greatest will be as a younger. Whoever's in charge must serve. And then he gave them this lesson. He said, you know, when you have a meal like this and you sit down, who's the greatest? The ones that are being served or the server? And of course, already Jesus has been serving them. And they then got the point. Our Lord Jesus Christ is serving us. And of course he's the greatest. So it had to be a very humbling thing for him to point that out to them. You boys ought to be thinking about how can I be a good server? The way up is down. And I just want to take a little bit of time here before the Lord's Supper in the demonstration that God did in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go back to Philippians 2:4, and as Wayne read it, Paul is saying, have the same attitude Jesus did. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ. In verse 6, he says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I think King James, that's always kind of an awkward way it says it. I think I jotted it down here in New Living Translation. Says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He was rightfully God the Son in his presence in the glory of heaven. But then Paul goes on and said, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I want to take you back just for a moment to Genesis 3, again, verse 15. Satan, in the form of a serpent, which at that time, I guess, was a beautiful creature on his being able to stand upright. That all changed there after he beguiled Eve. But he beguiled Eve into disobedience to God and what God had commanded. As he had beguiled them to think that this will lift you up, this will be something special for you if you do what I say instead of what God has told you. So she now had partaken. And I just somehow want to convey, and I think we know this, Satan has his plan. He was after the human race. If I can get these first people to disobey God, it's going to defile the whole human race, which it did. But God always has a greater plan, amazing plan. And what he said at that point, you beguiled this woman into disobedience. You're going to be cast down and you're going to crawl on your belly, which every snake now does. But I also want you to know that the seed of woman is going to bruise your head. Yeah, you'll defile the seed of woman's heel, but the seed of woman will bruise your head and put you to an end, serpent. So I go then to, and you know this well, but I want to go to Luke 1 for a moment. And again, help us just, Lord, to get in touch with what took place here. You know that Gabriel came to Mary. It's in Luke 1. And talking to Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll be great, be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. She said, how shall this be? She was committed in engagement to Joseph, but I know not a man. But I want you just to note, in verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I believe on this side of glory we can't even take it in. But the moment that that took place, when she conceived by the Holy Spirit, God the Son, in the presence of the Father, in the glory of heaven, took up residence there in such a tiny, tiny way in Mary's womb, and was then brought down to be under protection in the womb, which not today is not always the safest place, but then under the protection of these parents after birth. They were told, flee to Egypt, for for Pharaoh's going to be after this child. And so, and then to live all through the days, all the way up until his crucifixion, and to be our high priest, and to learn to know how to show compassion to us, and never sinning. As you go on, you know that Mary then, after she conceived, after the Lord Jesus was present in her, went and saw Elizabeth, who already was pregnant with John the Baptist. And it's so interesting, because when the salutation was given, John leaped in the womb because Jesus was there. And I guess to help us again, just to think through what God's plan was, that my son will come down from the glory of heaven, take up residence and be born, and then walk in this life, suffering things, being tempted of the devil, becoming our high priest. You go to Hebrews, the early chapters, says the high priest was taken among men, and he had to suffer things that all men do so he can have compassion on us. And so in a real way, it's a wonderful thing. Though we know when we bring things to the Lord Jesus, he's omniscient. He already knows, but he knows experientially. He knows what it's like to be rejected. John 6:66, from that day, most of his disciples walked away from him. He knows what it is to be denied by Peter. He knows what it is to have one of his disciples be to sell him out. He knows what it is. He did it in the power of Beelzebub. All sorts of accusation, rejection, but he came to show us how to walk, to be our high priest, and ultimately to lay down his life for us. What an amazing, amazing plan of God. And I guess I would want to say the most dramatic demonstration of the way up is down. He descended amongst us to take on flesh in order to redeem us, to get us back under the Father's family. And so a word about being exalted. And Peter shares this, let's see if I have it here. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The exaltation of the Lord Jesus is beyond description. And so Paul goes on, he writes that he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I just want us, by God's help, to think through what he did. What a decision for the Son to say, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to be in your presence with the worship of the angels, to be able to be God the Son. And I'm going to take up residence in a tiny being within the womb of a human, and then take on flesh, never cease to be God. He did that for us so that we today could be in God's family and have the wonderful blessing of looking forward to heaven. I want to just take a moment to read from Revelation 5, his exaltation, just part of it. How we look forward to the day when in his presence we can give him praise to rescue us from sin and darkness and from hell. And when he had taken the book in Revelation 5, 8, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, everyone having them harps and golden vials and odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Thank you, Lord, for our missionaries that are getting some so they can be there. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands." I think that's 100 million. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And I'm just reminded that the way up is down. And I said it, but the greatest demonstration of that in all of eternity had to be our Lord Jesus coming down as he did to rescue me, to rescue you, so we could be in the Father's family and live eternally praising and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ for that decision and the Father's plan. So I think of the serpent there having this wonderful victory that the woman had disobeyed God, for God to say, "I have another plan. And I want you to know that the seed of woman is going to put you away." And God always has the last word. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come down so much further than we can imagine for our sake, because the Father loves us and wanted to rescue us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we remember you today here. You're going to be remembered throughout eternity for your willingness to yield yourself to the Father to be our sin sacrifice. And as we do come to the Lord's table this morning, oh, Father, I pray that you would, in a new way, even help us to understand what it cost. But you did it because you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to carry out the Father's plan. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.